want to welcome you to the radio ministry of Church of the Promise in Iway, Louisiana, with Pastors Dwayne and Cindy Daigle. We're a non-denominational Bible teaching ministry with a passion to help God's people find their place in the kingdom of God. We want you to know that your life counts and that God wants to give you a hope and a future. We trust that you'll be both blessed and challenged by today's message. Here is Pastor Daigle.
The title of this message is Honor Your Parents. We pray this is a blessing to your life.
As you know, we've been dealing with the Ten Commandments. And, you know, the Ten Commandments are just, you know, in this day and age, so many people just say, that's that Old Testament, old law stuff. We don't need any of that. That's not important. Well, as a result of that, you know, and I'm going to be very frank with you, you got kids growing up in church, and they're hearing all kinds of stuff in church. And as soon as they grow up, they get out of church, they go shack up, and they go do this and do that, and everything. There's no moral base. And so somehow or another, the church has turned what God called holy and good into something negative. But the commandments of God are not something negative. Now, we've said that the commandments, what they really are, instead of seeing it as a negative thing, as a bunch of stuff you can't do, what we need to do instead is see that now that we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, it's God's list of things that through the Holy Spirit we can do. That we can actually live this out, and we can set an example for people, and we can make a difference in our world. We, as Pastor Larry said, we can change the culture. And so we've been talking about those. Now we're going to run through real quickly like we've been doing, because like I said, most people, even in the church, if you ask them if they knew what the Ten Commandments are, they would say they know what they are, but they couldn't tell you what the Ten Commandments are. You know, years ago we had these congressmen and people fighting to keep the Ten Commandments in the courtrooms and so on and so forth. And a very smart reporter looked at some of these men and they said, well, how many of you know the Ten Commandments? These guys who were in Congress who were fighting to keep the Ten Commandments in the courtrooms and so on. They said, well, how many of you know the Ten Commandments? None of them could tell the reporter what the Ten Commandments were. They were just fighting for a cause, but they didn't even know the cause. Okay. So we want you to know what they are. So we've been doing this simple thing that we do with the kids to teach them the commandments. Let's go ahead and run through those. You got those pictures? Go ahead and we'll go run through them. Put number one up. Somebody tell me, what is it? Yeah, put God first. What's the other way to say it? You shall have no other gods before me. Remember, it's not just before, but it also can be translated beside, and that word can also be translated in my presence. God says, get your false gods out of my face. Okay. I don't want any false gods anywhere around me. Number two, don't make graven images and don't do what? Don't bow. Like the number two, don't bow before those idols. People do that all the time. They bow before all kinds of idols. God's children shouldn't be doing that. Number three, don't take his name in vain. That's right. Don't watch what you say. Don't misuse your words. Don't take up the name in vain is one of the translations. In other words, don't take that name to yourself. Call yourself a Christian, but you don't act like Christ. Okay. Don't take that name in vain. Certainly don't use his name or names for curse words like so many people do. And we'll go even further. Be careful how you use any name of God. Don't treat it as something common. The Bible says that it's to be kept sacred. In other words, you treat it with special reverence. So be careful. Be careful even about going around saying OMG all the time. You know, come up with some other phrase you can use, but don't just throw it out there if you're not really meaning him or you're addressing him. Okay. Be careful. You don't want to disrespect him. All right. Is God going to strike you dead if you do that? No, it's not that he's going to strike you dead, but why would you dishonor him? Would you use your own mother's name as a curse word? Would you treat her in that kind of way? No. So number three, don't take his name in vain. Number four, we dealt with this the last couple of weeks. Remember the Sabbath, to keep it holy. And we went through a whole lot of teaching on that Sabbath and how it ties into communion and everything, and how, you know, the Sabbath is the commandment that puts God and men together. It's the cross-centered life. It's vertical and it's horizontal. It's loving God. It's loving people. God never intended for us to live out this Christian life on our own. It was always meant to be part of the body of Christ. So we meet together. We come together on Sundays. We meet together. I take it very serious that there's a spiritual and a practical side. We should be allowing the Lord to minister to us and us minister to the Lord on this day. But also we need to, I believe, do what the Lord says and don't make people work. Don't make them work and keep them out of church. I think that's important. Okay. So we went through this whole thing scripturally showing you how in the New Testament it has moved from the Saturday to the Sunday. We can prove that scripturally that that's what happened. But we also know that Jesus is the fulfillment of the Sabbath and Jesus himself. So that means that we're really supposed to keep every day holy, right? Because he lives in us. But there is still the practical side where we should rest because none of us were made to live to work 7 days a week without a break. We're just not designed like that. Okay. So there is that part about rest and we ought to take it serious. And we ought, you know, I didn't tell this last week, but I've told it many times before. Where this really hit us was after church one day. We went to eat. It was at the Pit Grill here in Iowa. We went to eat and I invited the waitress to come to church. And she looked at me and said, "Sir, I would love to come to your church, but I can't. I have to be here working so you can eat." And she could have hit me with a sack of bricks and it wouldn't have hurt as bad. I'd never even considered that. So our conviction, my wife and I personally, is, well, we're just not going to do that. You know, listen, the Sabbath was made for us, not us for the Sabbath. So this shouldn't put anybody in bondage. But we realize that if people aren't going to go to church, they're certainly not going to be able to use us as an excuse not to. Okay. That's our conviction. And I believe that, and I tell everybody all the time, it's what the commandment says. So why don't you ask God about it? See what he thinks about it. Don't just assume anything. All right. Now, today we're actually going to talk about the next one. Go on to number 5. Honor your father and mother. That's right. Honor your parents. And we'll talk about that today. Number 6. You shall not murder. That's right. Number 7. You shall not commit adultery. Number 8. You don't want to get these on your wrist. You shall not steal. Number 9. Yeah, don't bear false witness. Why is it? Remember the yellow belly coward? We lie when we're trying to cover ourselves up. That's a coward's way. Okay. North is always true. And this is actually a term that deals with a legal thing here. Don't bear false witness. Okay. Against your neighbor, so on and so forth. The number 10, you shall not covet. That's right. Quit wanting everybody else's stuff that God didn't authorize you to have. All right. We're going to dig into those later on, but let's go on back to number 5. Very practical. Today is honor your parents. Honor your parents. All respect for authority starts there. Starts there. Okay. So let's look at the commandment. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Now, I find that interesting because I know growing up for me with my mama, she didn't take nothing from me. And that was a literal thing. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long. Because if I didn't, she's probably going to kill me, you know. And I tell parents, you know, even if maybe you're not going to kill your kids when they disrespect or dishonor you, don't let them know that, you know. There needs to be a healthy fear, a healthy reverence, okay, just like there is for God. So Exodus chapter 21, verse 7. Now, this is how serious God takes it. He says, anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. Well, people might say, well, but we're in the new covenant. We don't have to worry about that. Yeah, but you need to understand that how much this grieves God to the point to where part of the command is that you would be put to death if you dishonor your father or mother. It shows the heart of God. He doesn't want us doing that. Okay. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. So there's this incredible promise that you'll live long, that things will go well with you. When you read something like that, then you have to know that there's the other side of it. That means if you are a dishonorable person, if you dishonor your parents, then you're going to dishonor probably all authority and things are not going to go well with you. And the chance is you're probably not going to live very long. Matthew 15:4, we see it again in the New Testament. For God said, honor your father and mother. And anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. So let me ask you, when you're out in public or even maybe when you're in church, does it kind of make your ears perk up when you actually hear a child being respectful? When you hear them actually saying Mr. or Mrs.? or when you hear them saying, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir. See, as time goes by, it seems like each generation has less respect and appreciation for those who have gone before them and blazed the trail for them. You know, the Lord dealt with me many years ago about always, not just with my parents, but all authority or all people who have spoken into my life, older people who've gone before me, they've made sacrifices for us, to always look for an opportunity to honor them. And so in my life, I have found teachers who taught me all the way down in the elementary school, teachers and principals and pastors, preachers, different ones in my life, even other parents who took some kind of authority in my life, or they were an example or a role model. I want them to know, I want to honor them. And the Lord has given me the opportunity to do that over and over again, to be able to honor them. And so in our society, we just do not value wisdom and age like they did in past days. Why is this happening? Well, you know, to be honest with you, I'm kind of appalled at how kids talk back to adults today. Parents, you just can't let it be an option. If your child is disrespectful, guess whose fault it is? Because this command is not just about what the kids need to do. It's about what the parents ought to be teaching the kids, right? So the best thing we could do is teach our children to honor us as parents. It's an office. It needs to be honored. And we'll talk a little more about the kind of parents you may have had. But I want you to understand, I cannot fathom the way teachers and other people in authority get treated by kids today. And then the parents come into agreement with the child instead of the authorities. There's no respect for authority. Why is that? Because people have abandoned this commandment. Television, I think, probably has something to do with it. On television, parents are usually, you know, seen as buffoons and so on and so forth. So again, today we're going to look at this fifth commandment. Maybe part of the problem with our society just simply springs from violating this command. Because remember, the family was the first system of government that God put on the earth. The first system of authority. And when that's broken, everything is broken. Okay? So what does it mean to honor your parents? So let's look at this. There seems to be two phases of life that everyone goes through in honoring their parents. Number one, in our youth, we are called to honor through obedience. Obedience. Kids, any kids in here? You don't run the house. Sorry, but you don't run the house. Okay. Your parents do, or at least they're supposed to. We are called to honor through obedience as children. The command to honor parents is not only established in the Ten Commandments and affirmed here by the command of Jesus, but it also is reinforced by the teaching of Paul in his letters. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 20, it says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Well-pleasing to the Lord. It's a big deal to God. Paul explains this command in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That's a big deal, because the Bible's not telling us that children should obey their parents when their parents tell them to do something that is immoral or goes against the Bible or against the law of God. You know, if your parents tell you to steal, he's not saying that you should do that, so on and so forth. But it says to obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may go well with you and you may live long on the earth. The one translation of that says that it may go well with you, says that you may prosper and live long on the earth. Practical application. Here, let's look at this. John Maxwell says this. He tells a story about two boys on their way to school, and they're talking about their families. And one boy says, you know, I've figured out a system. It's a great system that helps me to get along with my mom. Since I started doing this, I get along great with her. And the other boy looked and said, well, what kind of system are you talking about? He goes, it's very, very simple. She tells me what to do, and I do it. He said, I've been a lot happier since then. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 again, children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. You know, in the original text, the word which is translated obey comes from two words. It's the words under and listen. The rigid translation, literal translation, could simply be listen under. And what's in view here is a conscious and deliberate listening to really here. And it's an understanding that you're not on the same level. So I'm talking to the kids here today, okay? But understand, this command is also for adults, and it applies to you as well. So God's word of wisdom to children is very simple. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. And if that's not good enough for you to recognize that I honor the Lord when I obey my parents as a child, then there's this other thing that has to happen, and it's discipline. It's the, you know, if you spare the rod, you spoil the child kind of thing. I want you to know that something that's been a great blessing to me personally is that all over the place, I go to different businesses, I run into people in different places, and one of the things I hear very often, that is, it's one of the best things I could ever hear and such a blessing to me, is people who have met our kids, who've met our children. I hear it all the time. They say, your kids are so respectful. I mean, people go on. In fact, Alex back there, I had a lady, did some work for her, construction type work. And she told me, she said, if I could get away with it, I would steal your son. I would adopt him. Okay. But I hear this all the time about our kids. They say they're just so respectful. And it's very refreshing today because it's become rare. Okay. Well, what a beautiful thing. What a wonderful thing. And I tell them, you know, that don't just come natural. They didn't have any choice. Okay. That's the way it's supposed to be. It's not a choice. You shouldn't give your kids the option to be disrespectful or to dishonor. So again, it's a very straightforward word. Children, obey your parents and the Lord. And I will tell you, it's very, very needed in our day. Now, I know this might be a shock to you, but children don't always obey their parents. Anybody shocked by that? I heard of a mother who was asked by her three children what she would like for her birthday. And she answered, she had three children. She said, I would like three well-behaved children. And then one of the children thought about it for a moment. She goes, oh, great. That means there'll be six kids here. Yeah, I knew it wasn't them. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20. My son, observe the commandment of your father and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Proverbs 23:22. Listen to your father who begot you and do not despise your mother when she's old. So he's talking here about, if you're not honoring, honestly, you got to realize if you're not honoring them, you're despising them. Many of you think, or as young folks, you think you know more than your parents, that you're smarter than your parents, but you need to understand that there is absolutely no way in your short life that you could possibly know what your parents know. They're years ahead of you. Now, you honor them as a child by your obedience and your respect for what they tell you. And the only time that we are justified in not obeying our parents, again, as if they're trying to ask us to do something that God said is forbidden. Now, secondly, the second phase is in young adulthood, we are called to honor our parents through recognizing their wisdom. The Hebrew word translated honor here means to make heavy or weighty. And the word picture is literally to weigh them down with honor. I want to tell you, we live in a culture today where their parents pretty much don't have to worry about being weighed down with honor. Amen. But our kids ought to be different. We ought to teach them. And you young folks who are in here, listen, weigh your parents down with honor. And then as you become an adult, still weigh them down with honor. That's what God commands of us to do. The word picture is weighing down someone with esteem or respect. So the opposite of honor is to take someone lightly by withholding honor and respect. Honor also denotes a deserved deference. Now, the command to honor parents is supplemented by another biblical verse that states that we must revere, Leviticus chapter 19:3. Some translations say fear our parents. Like I said, in the same way that we should have a healthy fear of God, there should be a healthy fear of parents. Okay? Jewish tradition interpreted reverence as meaning that we should not stand or sit in our parents' reserved place, nor should we contradict their words. You know, something that is very rare today, still practiced in some families, is, you know what, on a practical level, in your house, you ought to have a chair that belongs to the parents. Kids don't just go jump up in there. Now, I'm talking about very practical. Some people might think this is silly. My father-in-law, for instance, we go eat at their house for Thanksgiving or whatever. There is a plate that belongs to Papa. That's his plate. And nobody uses that plate. And if somebody does accidentally grab that plate, they're going to wonder what's going on because everybody's going to get real quiet and stare at them. You say, well, that's kind of silly. No, it's not, because kids need to learn how to honor. Another thing is, listen, children shouldn't be correcting their parents in front of other people. I mean, it's dishonor. So we're talking about in the Jewish tradition here, which I think is a good one, that was something that was practiced. And so you just, there were certain places that were reserved that children just did, they just couldn't go run around and do whatever they wanted. Certain places they couldn't sit, and they were just, you know, the child should never contradict their parents publicly, even if the parent's wrong. Okay. So honor was demonstrated through acts of kindness and caring, while reverence meant to refrain from actions that diminish their role as parent or embarrass them in public. So again, it all has to do with honor. It all has to do with respect. And these distinctions are just as relevant today. This command is not just written to children, as we said. This command also is written to adult children. In the Jewish society, the family was a close-knit group. And as children would grow up and they would get married, typically they would stay either with, they'd have their own place in the house, but they would stay either with their parents or very, very near. We have the picture, and Jesus said, in my Father's house are many rooms, many mansions. That word mansion, by the way, doesn't mean your little mansion out on the hilltop. In my Father's house are many rooms is the correct translation for that. And it's this idea that we will live with the Father. When we do that, we carry his authority and all of that with us. Okay. And so the children would eventually end up taking care of their parents when the parents couldn't take care of themselves. And if the children didn't do that, then the parents wouldn't be taken care of. There was no, you know, welfare system and all of that kind of stuff. So if the children didn't do it, then it wouldn't happen. And so we have to make sure that we do not reduce this command to children doing what they're told to do, although that is part of the command. But it also applies to us. As we age, our roles with our parents change. You know, I don't have to call my parents and ask them if I could stay out late, because I'm a grown man. I don't have to call my parents and ask them permission to go places anymore. Why? Because I'm a grown man. I grew out of that. I don't ask my parents for permission to do that kind of stuff. I ask my wife, right? That's what happens, right? Actually, I don't ask her permission, but I do ask for agreement, and that's a good thing to do. So we're going to talk about how children can honor their parents and how adult children also can honor their parents here in a moment. But this command covers anyone who has parents. Is there anybody in here today who has parents or had parents, living or dead, have parents? That's good. That, you know what that means? Let me tell you what that means. That means you're human. That's what that means. You have parents. You're not a tree or whatever. You have parents. So this command also covers all parents. There is no disclaimer or qualifier that says that we're only to honor our parents, and this is important, if they are deserving. Because I know enough about humanity and enough about people and the brokenness of humanity to know that there are people sitting in this room today who your parents probably mistreated you very badly. Some of you were very, very badly neglected. Some of you were abused. I know that that's a reality that we live with. But here's the thing you need to understand. If you don't grab a hold of this command and understand that God commands us to honor our parents, whether they were good parents or bad parents, but we honor the role of parent. If we don't do that, it's going to mess our lives up. Things will not go well with us. It's going to be bad. So I like what Dr. Laura Schlesinger says about this. This was so profound to me. She said, you know, the commandment to honor our parents doesn't mean that you only honor them when they do good. The command is that you honor your parents for what they were supposed to be, not what they actually were. That's different. What's she talking about? You honor the role of parent, whether you like how they raised you or not. Okay. You honor what they were supposed to be, what God's word described as a good parent. Amen. And when you do that, what you'll find is you will come to a place where you're no longer living like a victim because you felt like you were, you know, mistreated growing up or left out growing up. And you can begin to find some victory in your life because you're no longer with a victim mentality. And it really comes down to just forgiving them and loving them through it. And I also tell people, you know, it's like when people are having marriage problems, many times what I'll do is I'll say, look, I want you to do something. I want you to sit down and I want you to stop focusing on the negative just for a moment. Because how many of you know it's very easy for us to focus on the negative stuff? So I say, I want you to sit down with a piece of paper and a pen, and I want you to write 10 things down that you absolutely love about that person. I remember I had one guy said, I can't write anything down about his wife. I said, no, come on. You can find something. One thing. Just find one thing. Start with one. Well, she is pretty. Write it down. What else? I don't know. I said, come on. What else? There's got to be something else. Well, she is a good mom. Well, write it down. And then before long, they begin to kind of roll because he was looking for the positive instead of looking for the negative like we always do. And so he had this list of 10 things. When it was all said and done, now I want you to speak this out, and I want you to say, my wife is, and speak those 10 things out in that list. And by the time he got to the end of that list, I said, bro, your wife sounds amazing. He goes, yeah, she does sound pretty good, doesn't she? I said, now focus on that list. Your assignment is to focus on that list right now. And no matter what, you focus on that list. You get that down in your heart. You have been blessed. You're a blessed man. And that is such an awesome woman that if you don't want her, some other man's probably going to be really blessed to have her. Their marriage is good. It's good today. Okay. So I said all that to say that we probably ought to do something similar to that. Those of you who maybe had issues with your parents, or maybe they didn't do a very good job, you think, why don't you sit down and you write a list instead of focusing on all the negative and staying in victimhood? Find a list, write a list, and write down all the good things you can figure out. Because I guarantee you there's some good things there. And if you'll ask the Lord, He'll show you. Okay. And because some of you've gone through all kinds of abuse, all kinds of neglect, all kinds of bad stuff, but you can still honor them. And let me tell you something. If you can't find any other reason to start with the fact that they didn't abort you. Start with the fact that you're alive today. Start with the fact that, you know, somebody fed you something to keep you alive, and it probably was them. And even if you say, but they didn't even keep me, I was adopted. Even if that's the case, understand they at least loved you enough to get you in a place where you could be adopted, where you could be raised, where you could be taken care of. So I want to tell you, we live in a broken, broken world, and people mess up, and parents mess up all the time. Even the best parents mess up sometime. So that's why I said, honor the office, the role, father and mother. Amen. I want to tell you, I had pretty good parents. They weren't perfect, but they were pretty good. And so I don't have any problem honoring them. But I want to tell you, I understand that many people were not as fortunate as me in that situation. But again, my parents made mistakes as well, but I choose to honor them. And, it's a pill that's very tough to swallow for those who have had terrible or abusive parents. To honor an abusive parent, understand, does not mean, however, that you allow that abuse to continue to happen. And it does not mean that you place grandchildren in that situation where that abuse could happen, where they could suffer the same. Now, again, Dr. Laura Schlesinger said in her book on the Ten Commandments, she suggests that when a parent is violent or sexually aggressive or emotionally destructive, children are justified to put some distance between themselves and their parents. And it takes a great amount of courage to honor someone that you might deem as not worthy of honor. But listen, your parent didn't have to do anything to earn your honor. We honor them because God said, honor them. Amen? What kind of a world would this be if people really began to honor this command to honor parents again? It would change the world. So it would affect our relationships. It would affect our children. And it would keep people from just seething in hatred. It's possible to maintain a cordial contact with a bad parent. We'll say a bad parent with basic needs and things when they need it. We can avoid spending a lot of time basking in negativity in front of them or even behind their backs. It is not a good situation, but for your own health, you have to learn to deal with it. Now, let me lighten it up a little bit. There were three sons that left home, and they went out on their own, and they prospered. They did well. Getting back together, they discussed the gifts that they were able to give their elderly mother because they wanted to honor her. And how do you know some parents, they just kind of tough, no matter what you do. Right. And so the first one said, you know what? I love my mother so much. I built her a big house. And the second one said, well, I love her so much. I sent her a Mercedes Benz with a driver. And the third smiled and he said, well, I got you both beat. He said, you remember how mama used to enjoy reading the Bible? And you know, she can't see very well anymore. So I did something really great for her. I sent her a remarkable parrot that recites the entire Bible. It took elders in the church 12 years to teach this parrot. He is a one-of-a-kind parrot. And Mama just has to name the chapter and the verse, and that parrot begins to recite it. He was so proud of himself. And soon thereafter, Mom sent out her letters of thanks to her boys, and she wrote the first one. She said, "Milton, the house that you built is so huge. I live in only one room, but I still have to clean that whole house." Gerald, she wrote the next one. She said, "I'm too old to travel. I stay most of the time at home, so I really don't have any use for that Mercedes, and that driver you sent is so rude." The third one's feeling pretty good about himself until he reads, "Dear Donald, you have the good sense to know out of your brothers exactly what your mother likes, and I want you to know that that chicken was delicious." So adults, it's not easy with us. You know, when we form our own household, we're not under the authority of our parents as we once were, but we should honor their wisdom, and we should also honor them as they get older. Understand the roles begin to change. The second question is, what can adult children do to honor their parents? Number one is this: appreciate them for what they've done. Appreciate them. Again, write a list. Think on the positive and thank them for it when you have the opportunity. When we're younger, we don't always appreciate the sacrifices that our parents made for us. And, you know, because we wanted to wear certain clothes or whatever, or we wanted to have this or that. I mean, I remember learning a very valuable lesson. My dad had bought me a pickup truck when I was 16 years old, you know, and all my friends, most of them were driving at 15, you know, and boy, I was always having to get a ride. I just thought I was such a victim because I didn't have a car or a truck yet. Okay. At that age. And so I'm 16 years old, and my dad, he really wanted me to be able to drive, and he bought me this little truck, but this truck was a blue truck, and it had a yellow door, and the door had a dent in it. And it had this little 6-cylinder engine that would take me about 20 minutes to get up to 20 miles per hour. I mean, it was terrible. It was just loud. It was just everywhere I went. That's the sound that you heard. And I remember one day I was griping because I was kind of embarrassed. Now, I drove the truck because I wanted to drive, but I was kind of embarrassed and I was griping. I griped to my daddy and I said, "You know, I can't believe you bought me that truck. Oh, ugly truck with a yellow door." I was so embarrassed and I'm griping to my daddy, but this is the thing that got me. I never remember seeing this before in a conversation between my dad, but I saw the pain in his eyes and my dad just put his head down. I shamed and disrespected and dishonored my father. See, I didn't understand the sacrifice that he had to make just to be able to get that for me. And here I was complaining. What a brat. Thank God my mom didn't hear that conversation because I'd have been in trouble. It wouldn't have been good. But I learned something from that. By my dad's humility, he didn't get mad. I saw the hurt in his eyes. See, that's really what the fear of God is really about. It's really the fear of God is about, I don't want to hurt him. The fear of a parent is, I don't want to do it just because I'm scared they're going to beat me within an inch of my life, but I don't want to hurt them. I never forgot that. Since then, many times I've thanked my daddy for that old truck. I say, boy, I had some good memories in that old truck. I had some good memories. That was a good old truck. And he'd say, yeah, that was a good old truck, wasn't it? See, many times we just don't appreciate the sacrifices, but we need to thank them for the sacrifice and the love that they showed to us. Again, they're worthy of honor because God said so. So someone might say, well, you know, I can't think of anything good that my parents did for me. And again, like I said, they let you live, didn't they? You got something to thank God for and to be honorable to your parents for. Number two, we can honor our parents for not resenting what they were not and what they did not do for you. Many people grow up resenting. They just resent their parents. And listen, your life will never go well when you have that in your heart. You know how many people harp on what they did not get as a child? Tell your neighbor, it's time to get over it. Time to get over it and go on with life. And it's not easy, but the Holy Spirit will help you. I believe that. Learn from your bad times. Vow not to incorporate the bad times into your parenting. If there's one thing your parents did for you, even in the bad times, even when they did it wrong, is they showed you what not to do. That can help your parenting. Amen. So understand that's all in the past. Don't spend your life throwing your bad childhood in their face. You got to let go of that bitterness. Number three, you honor your parents by making them a part of your family life, if at all possible. Again, these are very practical things. If it's at all possible to do that, honor them by letting them be a grandparent. Man, there's nothing like being a grandparent. It's so awesome. It's amazing. Listen, if I'd have known being a grandparent was so good, I'd have done that first. It's so awesome being a grandparent. Honor your parents by allowing them to be part. If that's possible, in some cases that may not be possible. You know, you want to protect your kids, but you and your kids will be better for it if that's possible. Number four, in our parents' elderly years, we honor them by helping them with support if needed. Now listen, this doesn't mean that a parent should just take advantage of their kids. But if a parent is at a place where they can't do it for themselves, guess whose job it is, according to the scripture? It's our job. That's right. So make sure that they're cared for when they can't do it for themselves. And this is a time both children and parents hope never happens, but many times it does. So some of you, I believe, are possibly in the midst of that right now. You're dealing with that right now. Don't know what to do. Ask the Lord. He'll show you. But I guarantee you there is an honorable way and there's a dishonorable way. Always take the honorable way. Amen. Understand they loved you when it was not easy to love you. And it may take sacrifice. Like what Pastor John Hagee says, he said that he told all of his children, he said, listen, when I get old, I'm going to move in with you. When I can't take care of myself, I'm moving in with you. And I'm going to use the phone all day. And I'm going to turn up the TV real loud. And I'm going to invite all my old friends over to eat everything you have in your refrigerator. Eat you out of house and home. And I'm never going to clean my room. John said, you know what? My children pray regularly for my good health. Again, Dr. Laura Schlesinger says in her book, The Ten Commandments, she says, in the Jewish tradition, to honor meant to serve food and drink, provide clothing and shelter, and lead them in and out as long as the parent is alive. How many times have you seen children yell at their parents or mouth off to them in public or argue with them in public? This is not pleasing to God. Honoring our parents means we will give them the proper attention and respect they deserve because of the fact that they are our parents. To honor means to place a value on. It's not enough to just do what they say out of fear of punishment, but we are to value them and respect their position. We've just looked at some honorable ways we can honor our parents, and we want to put that into practice. But let me give you another question. Why is this command so important? Why is it so important? And I've kind of hit on this, but parental honor lays the foundation for all our attitude toward all authority figures. If we don't learn the fifth commandment, then we're going to have no foundation for the rest of authority relationships in our lives. And you know what? Kids who don't learn that authority are going to have trouble in school. They're going to have trouble on the job. They're going to have a very hard time keeping a job because the boss won't do anything they tell them to do, right? And so you want to teach this commandment. You want to get it into their hearts. That's why the scripture says, teach them. Teach them while you're doing this. Teach them while you're doing that. Teach them in the morning. Teach them in the evening. Teach these. You got to get them inside of you and get them inside of your kids. And so from the fifth commandment, we learn how to relate to those people, to teachers, to bosses, to government, so on and so forth. And I've often said, if you don't teach your children to honor you, somebody else is going to make them honor them. And you're not going to like the way somebody else is treating little Johnny or little Susie, but somebody's going to force them to honor them. So according to the Bible, you know, an authority figure doesn't have to be a perfect person to honor. According to the Bible, we respect and honor authority because God has raised it up. So again, this is the only command with a promise. And God says in our passage today that if we obey this command, our days will be prolonged in the land that God gives you. You know what I like about that? Is it doesn't just mean that your days will be longer, but it says that things will go well with you or you will prosper. But it even mentions land here. Now, of course, he's talking to the children of Israel. He says, I'm going to give you a land. I believe I'm going to take this for myself as a promise that if I honor God, then God is going to give even lands to me. So in other words, you'll have ownership. Instead of you serving and renting all the time and serving somebody, you will have ownership. Okay. So God could be, I believe, speaking of a long physical life or also quality of life. But also, I believe it has to do with possessions. So think about how sad your life is if you cannot bring yourself to honor your parents. You're going to live your life bitter, and you're going to be destroyed by that bitterness. So today, the challenge is, we're going to deal with this. There's some folks in this room today that need to deal with this. You need to deal with this. Okay? On the physical side, we have at least a couple of places in the Old Testament where a disobedient child or a child who strikes their parent is to be put to death. You find that in Exodus 21 and Deuteronomy 21. On the practical side, if a parent tells a child not to drink or do drugs and the kid ignores the parent, well, they could die from it, right? So parents are God's representative to their kids, and they teach us all that what we need to make in life. Now, I want to tell you, for you parents who spiritually understanding, for you parents who may think that once your child turns 18, you have no authority over them, you need to think again. Because although they may be legally an adult, first of all, if they live in your house, they need to do what you tell them to do. Okay. And if you don't want your parents' children, if you don't want your parents telling you what to do when you're 18, then don't live in their house. Go make your own way. Okay. But as long as a parent is providing for that child, then that child needs to be obedient to the parent. Once that child is out there providing for themselves and they're taking care of themselves, you may not physically be able to make them do anything, parent, but spiritually you still have authority. You still have authority to pray for them. You have authority to speak into their life. You have authority to even bring correction. They may not take it, but you have the authority to bring it. Okay? God's given you that authority, and you need to use it. Don't fall for this thing of, well, they're 18, I can't tell them anything. Don't fall for that. So, listen, the responsibility that you have for your children, I hope you take it very, very serious. Your job, by the way, is not to make your kid happy. Can I say that? Your job is not to make your kids happy. Your job is to cause them to be a God-fearing, responsible adult. Your job is not to be their best friend or their best buddy. Your job is to be their parent. Amen? And this command is going to be easy for some folks and it's going to be hard for other folks, but regardless, we're not exempt from it. And the Holy Spirit will help you do it if you seriously want to honor God with this command. So understand that no matter what your family life has been or what it's like today, you need to understand that Jesus offers you the chance, of course, to be part of a new family and His family, but He offers you the chance always, at any moment, He offers you the chance to repent. Okay. So you're probably all saved in here today. I don't know. But He offers you the chance to repent, to get saved. And then over and over again, after we're saved, He offers us the chance to repent, to change the way we're thinking and start thinking the way He...
Pastors Dwayne and Cindy would like to thank you for joining us today. We trust that your life has been enriched by the Word of God. We want to encourage you to get plugged into a life-giving church in your area. If you'd like to contact us, you may do so at area code 337-582-2090. If you'd like to write to us or send financial support for this program, you may send it to 350 Highway 165, Iway, Louisiana, 70647. You may also email us at cotp@centurytel.net. Church of the Promise is located approximately 10 miles east of Lake Charles and 1/2 mile south of I-10 at exit 44. Our service times are 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 o'clock on Wednesday evenings. Until next time, remember, you are loved and your life is worth living.